Thank you, choir, for that. I want you to look in the back of a lot of those chairs, the little chorus sheet for Behold He Comes. We're going to use this every service. It starts out with the basses, then the tenors, then the altos, then the sopranos. And if you don't know what you are, Ben usually sing the bass and the tenor, and the alto, the ladies sing the alto and the soprano. Just sing. Okay, how's that? So let's stand. We're going to sing another song in just a minute, but let's start with Behold He Comes. Oh, we're changing piano players here. Okay, so here we go with the roll. Ready, bass to start.
Behold He Comes.
Tenor. Behold He Comes. Behold He Comes.
Behold He Comes. And every eye shall see Him. Friend, will you be ready when Jesus comes?
Let's do that one more time. Get used to it. We're going to use it every service. Here we go. Faces.
Behold He Comes.
Behold He Comes.
Oh,
behold.
Behold He Comes. And every eye shall see Him. When will you be ready when Jesus comes?
All right, number hymn number one. Hymn number one, My Savior's Love. Everybody take a hymnal. Join us as we sing. Number one. Sing together.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner and unclean. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
To come, let's sing it out like we mean it today.
When with the ransomed in glory, His face I at last shall see, will be my joy through the ages. His face God has lost for me.
Sing out now.
That's a good way to start the revival meeting. First of all, reminding us that Jesus is coming back. Amen. He's coming. You better be ready when Jesus comes. The Bible said no man knoweth the day nor the hour. And so I saw on the internet the other day that somebody said it was going to happen on the 23rd of April. Well, bless their heart. I hope he comes on the 22nd just to mess them up. Say amen right there. But it's something about numerology and all that. Well, listen, Jesus Himself said, no man knows. And if He said, no man knows, and I'm telling you, no man knows. I don't care how smart they are. That's just foolishness. Amen. And so anyway, He's coming. He could come today. Could come before the service is over. And the Bible said, now is the day of salvation. Right now, N-O-W. Not during the invitation. Right now. If God speaks to your heart, listen, I guarantee you, I think I'm speaking for Brother Brian, if you want to get saved, come forward. He quit long enough for you to get saved. He can pick back up really. He's going to be here till Wednesday, so he's got all kinds of time. And so we don't want anybody to leave this week without knowing Christ as their Savior. And so I'm glad that I know Him, aren't you, for 41 years. God, I've known the Lord as my Savior, and what a blessing that is. And we're glad to see you here at Anchor Baptist Church, the first service of our spring revival, and hope that many more will be coming tonight and throughout the week. And I hope you're inviting folks to come. And we've been trying to invite folks to come, and I hope you have as well. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask the blessing on the service. And then after we're done praying, you can be seated in the audience to the choir sing another number. All right, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, it's a joy again to be back in the house of the Lord on this, the Lord's Day, the first meeting or the first service of our spring revival. God, I can only speak for myself. I need revival.
Yes.
Lord, I need to be recharged. I need to be re-upped, as it were. God, I'm glad. The Bible said, "You hath He quickened for dead and trespasses and sin." If I'm a Christian, I'll never be dead. I sure can lag. I sure can be fall behind. And so I need revival. I need something in my soul that'll help me. The cottage prayer meetings this week have helped me. God, I'll tell you, they've helped me. I appreciate it, Lord. And now, as we not only pray for the services, we pray for sinners. God, help sinners to come to Christ today and this week, Lord. But as Brother Jimmy Rose always said, I can't get them to the altar if you don't get them in the building. And so, Lord, if they're gonna get saved, they need to hear the Word of God. And so I pray that not only will you be here in the services and will you save sinners, but Lord, help the saints along the way. We all need some help. Pray for Brother Brian this week. God, what a joy it is to have the Gurley family back with us this year. We love Brother Brian and Sister Devin and their children. And God, we pray that you'll just put your anointing hand upon Brian and put the Holy Ghost of God into his mind and heart, or do away with anything that might hinder his speech or his thinking. God, may only the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and exemplified in these services. Thank you for everyone that's come out today. Bless the choir as they sing the special music in a little while, and then the preaching of the Word of God. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I never, I never, I never, I never seen the rise of
let's stand and let's greet each other. Great job from the choir. Great message to that song. Thank you, choir. Let's stand and we'll greet each other while the choir comes down.
Woo! Good singing, choir. All right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being here. Anchor Baptist Church on a beautiful Lord's Day. They talk like it might get a little stormy sometime, but it's held off so far, and I'm grateful for that. The rest of the week's supposed to be really nice. It's upper 60s and low 70s, sunshine. Those would be good days to come to church. Somebody say amen right there. Great day. Am I going to be the only one here? I hope not. The way you responded, it sounded that way. This week be good days to come to church, won't it? Okay, see, Joaquin, you're rubbing off on people. All right, well, let me say again, thank you for being here in the services today. Good to have Brother Brian and his family, and we appreciate them being here. They'll be with us all this week, and we're looking forward to good services throughout this week. Last year, had a great meeting with them last year, and trusting the Lord to give us a good one this year as well. A couple things I want to mention quickly, and after this morning, we're going to not do announcements because we just want to give Brian plenty of time, and so I'm going to do these now just to kind of get this out of the way. Of course, Brian, you got some too, don't you? Why don't you come up and give yours first, then that way I won't repeat you.
Listen close, because like you said, we won't be doing this during the week. So remember, we have choir practice this afternoon at 4:30, so every member of the choir, we need you to be here at 4:30. Turn over songs for tonight and for every night of the revival. Very important that you're here. Every single member of the choir, 100% attendance. So at 4:30. Then, of course, revival this week, 7 o'clock every night. Tonight, of course, 5:30. 7 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Friday at 2:30 here at the church is the monthly homeschool chapel for our homeschoolers. So those of you that come, so you can know about that, and also invite some people with you. It's open to anybody that wants to come. You don't have to be in school to come. If you're just riding down the road, come on in at 2:30 and worship with our young people for their homeschool chapel. And Saturday at 10 o'clock, third Saturday of the month, means the men will meet here for our sowing Saturday. Go out and sow the seed of the gospel in our neighborhood. So 10 o'clock, we need every man here that's able to get out and knock on doors this coming Saturday.
Thank you, Brian. But now, you know, like I said, if you're just riding down the road, and it's 2:30 on Friday, turn in, will you? Amen. We'll take anybody. Years ago, we had a service, and it was a black preacher from Charlotte. Great fella. We so loved him. The first time we'd had him, though, and he brought his church from Charlotte all the way, his church. And so we had a little old church building. We had dirt driveway, dirt. I mean, it was just old country church, you know. And we noticed, somebody said, "Preacher, do you see what's going on in the parking lot?" I said, "No, I hadn't been out there." He said, "You need to go see it." And so this brother had his, I guess they were deacons or just men in the church. When I got out on the front door, the road, Neely's Creek Road, where we had a driveway that came in one side and went out the other side, he had posted a man at the first driveway and the other driveway. They had black suits and white gloves on. And I mean, every car that came up Neely's Creek Road, the first one waved him in the parking lot. I mean, he waved him in. And that boy here, and you know what they did? They come on in. Now, the ones that acted like they didn't want to stay, the other feller on the other side waved them out so they could get out, you know. And but you'd be surprised how many people stayed. So we only got one way in and one way out here, so we may just post somebody out here with white gloves and a tuxedo, and just wave them in, praise God. That'd be all right. I mean, we had such a great service that day. I tell you, it was wonderful, but that reminded me when he said about just driving down the road. I mean, I can't imagine those people coming home from work or wherever they've come from, and this guy's waving them in the churchyard, you know. Well, they just went on in, you know. You know what I'd have done? I'd have drove on in, too, I reckon. I wouldn't go to try to go against that, you know. But anyway, if you can be here, we'll should be here every service. The WTBI Fund, you know, we had 10 people that pledged $120 for this year for our church pledge. We need to start getting that in. We've got some in, but just don't forget about that because we need to get that turned in. If you were one of the 10 that pledged the $120, then you don't have to pay it all right now. But if you give some, just mark on the envelope WTBI. We'll make sure that we have that available and it goes to the right place. Financial statements for March are in the vestibule. Be sure and get one if you want one. And then the tracks. We are we're dropping off a little on our tracks. Folks got to get revived. Amen. Got to get recharged. Folks are still giving them out, but not at the same pace. So our goal is 12,000 tracks this year. And I saw the thing up there. I think we're right close to 3,000 maybe or 600 that we've given out so far. And that includes the month of January, even though we didn't start till the 1st of February. We want to make up for the month of January as well. And we were way over for a while, but now it's kind of leveled off. We're still, I think, a little ahead maybe for the year, but we don't want to get behind. Be sure, church folks, church members, if you will, go out, get the tracks. Brother Joaquin's got them all fixed up out there. Be sure and get some tracks, take them with you and give them out this week, okay? Please do that. You know how Baptists will do. When you first time you say we're ahead of the schedule, or they lay down. Don't do that. I've bragged on you all for years about your giving, but I'll be honest with you, our tithing has kind of dropped off a little. Don't do that. Don't let that happen. Because number one, you are disobeying the Lord. And number two, you're missing the blessing. And so be sure of these things that God tells us to do and things that we want to do as a church family. You be sure and get involved. So get those tracks. Let's get them out this week. Go somewhere. A good way to invite people to revival by handing them a track and then reminding or letting them know that we've got services going on this week. And so I hope that you will be sure and do that. Okay, to pray, some folks to pray for. Brother Steve Morris waiting on his results for his cancer tests. Martha Richards, still about 3 more weeks she'll be laid up. She got a hard cast put on, but she'll be laid up for a few more weeks. So remember her. Mike Alexander, continue to pray for Susan Blevins. Brother Sonny Branham, his shoulder, he had one of his big construction ladders that fell on him. That's what happened. And he's had rotator cuff surgery. It did not damage any of that. It really bruised him up pretty good on the inside, his muscles and his shoulder blade and all. And so he's really been struggling with that. And that's the reason they haven't been in church in 2 weeks. Judy can't leave him alone, of course, and we understand that. And so you pray for Brother Sonny Branham, if you would. I think Melvin's at home. He texted me earlier this week, said he wasn't feeling good. He was sick. Is he still not feeling well, Miss Candy. All right, so pray for Brother Melvin, if you will, and the other folks that we have on the prayer list. All right, Brother Tim.
All right, 361. Let's stand. We're going to sing the first and last. Heavenly Sunlight, 361. Sing together now.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing His praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing.
Good singing. You can
be. All right, thank you so much. Ushers, come on ahead. We'll take care of the offering. Now, this is the regular church offering, and we'll do this morning and tonight. But at the end of all the five services, we'll take a love offering for Brother Brian, and all that goes to Brother Brian. We don't use it for anything. We want to take care of God's man. And pray for Jules. Jules fell off the monkey bars at school, I guess, somewhere. Where was it at, sweetheart? It's a baseball game, all right, and broke her wrist. And that was just, what, Friday? So she's going to have to go back to an orthopedist to get a cast put on her arm. So we got cast all over the place. Jules, guess what? That thing's real hard. And when Jay bothers you, does Jay ever bother you? He does. And you know what to do with that cast? Bow! No, don't do that. You might get... Don't take my advice. That's bad counsel. And Jay just said amen right there, didn't he? You pray for little Jules. Hope everything will be all right and she'll... be able to recover from that okay. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering. Brother Joaquin, you pray for the offering. Brother Rick, did I hear somebody's car alarm go? You've got it took care of it. Right, I heard somebody's horn beeping out there, but they took care of it. Okay. All right, come on.
All right, well, right before Pastor introduces our speaker again, we have the quartet coming to us.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? Since you knew
it been since you've knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that He'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? Walk with the dawn and felt that the days were the living. Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you? You can call Him your friend. How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you?
Let me safely through waters unknown. I will not fear because I don't sail alone.
Somebody say amen somewhere.
I have God's promise here. The day is drawing near when I reach heaven's pier, and I'll sail these seas no more, but till I'm anchored safe where heaven's harbor waits. So this boat rocks and shakes, my faith in the Lord. No, I'll never sail alone on stormy seas. I have the mighty hand of God leading me. He'll pilot me safely through waters unknown. I will not fear because I don't sail alone. No, I'll never sail alone on stormy seas. I have the mighty hand of God always leading me. He'll pilot me safely through waters unknown. I will not fear because I don't sail alone. He'll pilot me safely through waters unknown. I will not fear, no, I will not fear, no, I will not fear because I don't sail alone. Sail alone.
Not only can I not remember the words, I can't breathe through half of it. All right. Well, thank the Lord for a good Lord's Day. We're glad to have Brother Brian Gurley. Brian Gurley, you're going to have to help me. They've changed the name of their church, and I know I'm going to get it wrong, so he'll tell you the name. I didn't write it down even. It's Old Paths Bible Baptist Church. Is that right? Old Paths. Is that right? You're kind of grinning like, no, that ain't right.
I'm just grinning because you don't know it.
Okay. Amen. What can I say? Yeah, burns. Anyway, he's the pastor of Old Paths Bible Baptist Church in Peachland, North Carolina. He was here with us last year. The whole family was. We had a great meeting last year. God really spoke to many hearts last year. We've got a few new folks here since then. And you'll enjoy. How many of you have ever heard Brian preach before? First time. All right, several of you. And so, Joaquin, you were here. Did I say, how many of you have not heard him preach? Did I say heard? Okay, I'm sorry. As Joaquin raised hand, I thought I knew he wasn't listening. So a few of you haven't. You're going to enjoy Brother Brian's preaching now. It's just old-fashioned preaching, the kind we like. His pastor is Brother Rick Baker, pastors up in Mint Hill at Faith Baptist Church. And Brother Rick's been here many times and preached for us here. And he's been here as he's traveling through for meetings. He'll get to come this week, maybe. I don't know if you had a chance to speak to him or not, but hope you'll get to come. I know his dad and mother are going to try to come, maybe. And tonight, man, I'll tell you, I got a great phone call this week. For the first time ever, my youngest brother invited himself to church tonight.
Right.
Yeah. He said, "We're coming tonight." Wow, I tell you,
thank God for it.
First time in 54 years I've ever heard them words come out of his mouth. I'll tell you what, that put you on shout ground. Yeah,
that's
amen,
right.
Praise God. He said, "What time's the service tonight?" And here he told me, here's what he said. He said, "We thought about, they go to bed like at 7 o'clock at night." I'm telling you the truth, they go to bed earlier than Brian and Bethany do. They go to bed at 7 and get up like, he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning because he has a construction job, so he gets up early. Anyway, he told me, he said, you know, because of the drive and having to get up so early, and he's having to get used to being in church on Sunday night and Wednesday night past, I mean, in fact, they go like 9 o'clock at Tabernacle up there. So he called me, he said, "Man, I'm going to have to get used to this." And so he said, "I think we'll come Sunday." He said, "We might come Sunday morning yesterday." And so we might come tomorrow morning and be with you and have lunch with you. Then we'll go back to our church Sunday night. And BJ was listening. And I heard in the background say, "No, we're not. I'm not missing Sunday school."
How about that? That's great.
And he said, "Okay, praise God." I'll tell you, that's one of them drop the mic moments. Amen. I'm telling you. I've just about dropped the phone. They're arguing with me about where they should go to church and why. Praise God. I'll tell you. And so they're planning to be here tonight if the weather kind of holds off, I guess. And usually when he says, "I'm coming," it's kind of like, "Well, we'll see." He said, he told me yesterday, he said, "Now you'll notice I didn't say we'll see." He said, "I'm coming." Praise God. That's wonderful. Brian, you come on up. You can introduce your family. Some of the folks may not know them, but come on up, Brian. Brother Brian Gurley, such a fine man of God and just a precious man. They go out on Saturday night. They came in late yesterday because on Saturday evenings, is it Indian Trail where he goes? You go down to Indian Trail, little town there just above Monroe. And they do a little street preaching, and they hold up signs with scripture on for people to read. And they do that all the time. And so I appreciate that from his church family. And they live quite a ways from Indian Trail on the other side of the county. They go up there every Saturday night, and so I appreciate that. Got them a good room set up, so they'll be here all week. We're going to make them as comfortable as we can. But we believe in taking care of God's people, don't we? Amen? And so you pray while he preaches, and then be sure and be back tonight for the service at 5:30. All right, Brian, come on.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
All right. Revelation chapter number 9. Have your Bibles. And I'll introduce my family. Most of you are familiar faces, I think most. And my wife, Devin. Of course, she was back there preaching, I guess. She took so much. She didn't get out until 10 minutes after the bell rang. And I said, if she ever questions how long I preach again, I'm going to be upset. How about that? I'll be upset. But my wife, Devin, I appreciate you praying for her. She's doing well. Of course, she was sick last year, I believe, a little bit. And I had surgery, and you've been praying for her. I appreciate you doing that. And my boys, Dax is my oldest, and Dustin on the end here today. And then my daughter, Julianne, I appreciate you. Good to us. Preacher said that y'all put us in a room. Y'all put us in two rooms. And it's one of the nicest hotels we've stayed in. We love it down here. Our kids so looking forward to coming back down here next year. And y'all treat them so kind and much more than we deserve. I want to tell you thank you for it. You're in the right place this morning. And if you're visiting or even if you're a member here, you're in the right place. All the music and the choir, such a blessing. And the choir's wonderful. And the special thing, all of it's so prepared. And I was thinking about the verse up there in Corinthians says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And that's done around here. And you can tell it. And there's a good spirit. And thank God for it. I thank God for it. Thank God for you. Thank God for your preacher and their family. We love Brother Rick and Mr. D. And we love Andrew and his wife and love Brian. And we just love them. They're a blessing to us. And we're talented and we love them. We love Bethany. I reckon we love Bethany too. All right, let's stay. If you would pray for me. That's my voice up a little bit, but let's stand. We're going to read together if you're able to, and desire you pray for us. Revelation chapter number 9, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. To them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, that they should be tormented 5 months, And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. I desire to die, death shall flee from them. Shapes of the locusts were like unto the horses prepared in the battle. On their heads were as it were crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men. Had hair as the hair of women. Teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto the scorpions. There were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the 4 horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the 4 angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The fourth and the 4 angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, to slay the 3rd part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, as of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these 3 was the 3rd part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. The rest of the men were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. They should not worship devils. Idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, or of their sorceries, or of their fornication, or of their deaths. So we do love you this morning. Father, I do thank you for the privilege to be here, or to stand in this pulpit, or Brother Rick stands. It's an honor and a privilege. Father, I'm thankful that you will meet with us, Lord. A group of people here in Columbia, that you would come and meet with us already the way you have, and speak to our hearts and tender our hearts. Lord, you've done that through the music and getting our minds on you through Sunday school. It's been such a good morning. Father, I don't dare want to mess any of that up. I ask you, Father, please to help us. Lord, we greatly need your help. You know our hearts. Lord, Brother Steve said it so well in Sunday school that we need revival. We all need some type of reviving somewhere. Father, surely some here are lost or don't know you as their Savior. What a great God we have. I ask you, Father, please speak to our hearts, Lord. You've got to do that, Lord. We're unable to do the work that needs to be done. So please bless it. Please honor the message. Lord, bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, what we just read, when you get to Revelation 9, this is the second half, of course, of the tribulation period. And right here where this 5th angel sounds out, really you're right in the middle of that second half where God is pouring out His wrath on this earth. We know it's the time of Jacob's trouble. God's going to purify him a people. And we know that lost people will be on here on the earth, that the church will be raptured out when this comes along. The Bible states that the second half of the tribulation, the whole 7 years, is referred to as the tribulation. But that second half, the Bible refers to as the great tribulation. In fact, he says over in Matthew 24, he told his disciples, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." I believe what he's saying is that no way can you describe or you understand what's going to take place in that part of the great tribulation. This happens after Jesus comes back and gets us, praise God. But on the earth, there's no way. It's almost like preaching on hell. It's like preaching on eternity. It's like preaching on the goodness of God. There are not enough words in the English language to describe the depths of hell or eternity or the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nor are there words to describe what the tribulation will be like when the Antichrist is come. Up to this point, in chapter number 9, there have been some seals that have been opened. These judgments, if you count them individual, if you count them in chronological, if that's the way you believe, it don't matter. There's 21 judgments. 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 vials. And when he starts to open up these judgments, already up to this place, if we were to go back and look at it, there has already been great deception. People are deceived everywhere. For a man to think he could sit in a service or in a day or in a church like this and listen to truth and reject that truth and not receive it, but think that after Jesus comes, after the church is gone, after I see some sign, I'll receive truth. You've lost your mind. God says there's a great deception and a great deceiving that man that had a chance to know the truth before God came back, they will never have opportunity again to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great deception. There's great famine. Great famine. In fact, that famine and war combined, the Bible says, up to now, before you even get to chapter 9, will kill 1/4 of the population of the earth. Great famine. Great deception. There's great persecution against those that are saved. Read about that before you get to chapter 9. The Bible says there's a great earthquake. If man's still living by now, there's a great earthquake. The Bible says the sun will turn black. Ain't that something to think about? I can't imagine that, but the sun will turn black. The Bible says the moon will turn as it were blood. Ain't that something? A great earthquake. And at that point, the Bible says that men, they'll scatter everywhere and they'll start going into hiding. Hide anywhere they can. They will want to die, but they won't be able to die. Ain't that awful? The Bible says then, when it starts to open up the next set of judgments, that 1/3 of the earth is destroyed by fire. Plant life, grass, everything you think on this earth, 1/3 of it destroyed by fire. 1/3 part of the sea turned to blood. Imagine that. 1/3 part of the sea turned to blood. 1/3 part of the rivers will be turned bitter. Think about your water sources. 1/3 part of the sun, moon, and stars will be smitten, causing even more darkness than when the sun turned black. I don't know how to explain all that. But I know that's great tribulation. That is beyond words. It don't matter how long I try to illustrate. There is no way to comprehend what those days will be like if you're left behind before Jesus comes. But what I think is interesting, Brother Steve, is in chapter number 8, verse 13, he says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice." Listen, all those things have already happened. But now when you get to this point, he says, "Woe, woe, woe." Oh, he's trying to get across. God's trying to tell you, as bad as it's been, better hold on. There's greater grief. There's greater affliction. There's greater misery, there's greater torment, there's greater wrath, there's greater punishment that God is going to pour on this earth even after all that what we talked about. Amazing, ain't it? So when you get to chapter 9, the Bible starts talking about some of these woes. The first woe, or some of this of the 5th and 6th trumpets, in the first, I guess, 12 verses here probably, there are these demonic locusts. God will unleash out of the bottomless pit. And I'll tell you, it's as true as you're sitting here today. I've read commentaries on all this stuff, and you'd be amazed how many bright men and people that's supposed to know God try to explain away every bit of it and try to turn it into something that it's not. I'll tell you, if God don't change it and tell you what it is, it is what it is. God's sending, He's unlocking that key. He's unlocking that gate. And he's letting demons come out of the bottomless pit. And the Bible says over there in chapter number 9 that they're going to come out and they're going to torment men for 5 months. And men are going to want to die, but they can't. And after that, there's an army of horsemen, demonic horsemen, come out. And the Bible says they're going to kill 1/3 of the population that's left on the earth. Now listen, I can't imagine all that. But as I read about that, you know, I can't imagine hell. I can't imagine hell. Because he says in verse number 1, if you look at this, "And the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key," look at this, "of the bottomless pit." That's hell. That's a real place. That place right now, that's the holding cell. That place called hell, I've heard it described many ways, and you have too. But this morning, I want you to look at this, and just what it says about hell. God gives us a look inside of here. In fact, he says in verse number 2, "And he opened the bottomless pit. And so whatever God opens that gate and whatever comes out of this place, that's what's there right now. Isn't that something? You know, hell's like a prison. It has a key in verse 1. You ever read over there in Jonah, when Jonah went down the belly of that whale and went down the bottom of that sea? He said, while he was in there, he said, the bars. Talking about the bars being around him. Remember when Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? It's got gates. It's got bars. It's got a key. Hell is just like a prison. We're locked up and can't get out. I want to show you a couple of verses before we look at some of this. Look at Isaiah chapter number 24. Hold your place in Revelation. We're going to flip right back. Isaiah chapter number 24. Look what it says. This thing of the pit, the Bible says, is like a prison. Isaiah chapter 24. Look at verse number 21. Isaiah chapter 24, verse number 21. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners that are gathered in the pit. You see that? And shall be shut up in the prison. I tell you this morning, there's a place for men that offend God. There's a place for a man that rejects God. There's a place for people that don't want anything to do with God. I tell you, there's a place where God has for people that offend God's law and don't care about His book, that don't care about preaching, that don't care about His house, that don't care about Jesus Christ. God has a place set for them. The prison. God's a judge. We've sinned. We're guilty. And just like a just God would do or a just judge would do, God will judge those that sin against God. God will judge those that sin against His law. He's got a place for you to spend. Look at Revelation. Go back to Revelation. Look at chapter number 20. That's when you see it looking as a prison cell. As a prison locked up with gates and bars. Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20, in verse number 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. There it is again. And a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up just like a prison and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Till 1,000 years to be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Down at verse 7. When the 1,000 years, Revelation 20 verse 7, are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. That's something. It's pit. It's hell. And hell's just like a prison. Oh, Satan, oh, Lucifer, when he was in heaven, he said, I will ascend up into the heaven. I will be like the Most High. And God says, no, you're going to be brought low. You're going to be put down there in that pit. And he's talking about this bottomless pit. Remember Korah in Numbers chapter number 16? Korah rebelled against Moses. And God opened up that earth and swallowed up Korah and everybody that came against Moses and against God. And the Bible says they went down alive unto the pit. I'm telling you, there's such a falling away. There's people that don't believe the Bible. They don't think Jesus is coming. They think all this stuff is a joke. I'll tell you, if God talks about hell like this, there's a real place with the things that are described in this Bible. There's a hell as sure as we're sitting here. We live most of our days, we think this is a fairy tale, and we're going to skip through life, and ain't nothing after this. I'll tell you, there's a real hell. Our loved ones are going there. Our co-workers are going there. Church people are going there. There is a real hell this morning, right? But look inside this prison cell. Go back to chapter number 9. This is interesting to me. He opens it up in verse 2 and you get to see what's inside there. Bible says in chapter number 9, verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit and there arose smoke out of the pit, smoke of a great furnace. Brother Steve mentioned this first mention principle this morning. First time it talks about smoke as a great furnace. Source used, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what God's doing in Sodom and Gomorrah? He's raining down fire and brimstone because His wrath is being poured out against horrific sin. You know, the same thing carries true all throughout the Bible. You know what this place is? It's a place where God has put His wrath upon of those that have rejected God's Word and rejected Jesus Christ. The Bible says that smoke, listen to this, think about this. When that gate was open, that smoke come out of this place, it was enough smoke blacken the whole atmosphere. Can you imagine being in there with the gate shut? You lift up the lid like on a charcoal grill. All that smoke comes out. There was enough smoke blacken the whole atmosphere. That means before that gate ever opened, every bit of that smoke was in the bottomless pit. No wonder the Bible says over and over, a man that goes to hell, he's going to be in outer darkness. He can't see. Bible says every time it says over there, I believe it's several different times, every time outer darkness is mentioned, it's mentioned with weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've always thought about gnashing of teeth when you hurt yourself. You're in torment and you grit your teeth. I wonder if that smoke so bad in that place that people aren't gnashing their teeth trying to keep that smoke out of their mouths and squinting their eyes trying to keep that smoke out of their nostrils and out of their mouth and out of their orifice. I'm telling you, that smoke is so bad in hell we can't even imagine it. It's real. It's real, ain't it? You know, and you start reading through here. I'm not reading all these verses this morning, but look at verse 5. The Bible says, and to them it was given that they should not kill them. Notice this word's coming up. That they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion. You know, you're going to be cognitive in hell. I don't care what anybody else teaches. If our loved ones go to hell, they're going to know they're there. Man, I'll tell you, don't you got lost family? They're going to be there. They're going to be gnashing their teeth. I don't know if it's smoke or pain, but they're going to be weeping and wailing. They're going to be in torment. They're going to experience torment. That's the greatest misery, the Bible says. The dictionary says the greatest misery. Greatest grief. Hell's not on earth. And we talk about hell to people, and we hear people all the time say, oh, we're experiencing hell now. This is hell. They have no idea what they're talking about. It's an easy walk here compared to hell. Tormented, he said. Tormented. Tormented. Rich man. Go read about that rich man, Luke 16. Tormented. And then torments. Torment. And the Bible says here that it was the torment. Look at this. Was as the torment of a scorpion. Amazing, ain't it? The Bible says it's so bad that they'll want to die. But you're not dying in hell. My loved ones ain't going to die there. And sometimes I just sit there. And I think about eternity. I'll make you nauseated. About some of my family dying without Christ. They're not just going to be there for a couple of weeks. They'll be there forever. Ever. They're going to be tormented. The Bible says torment as it was the torment of a scorpion. I looked that up, what a scorpion sting was like. Amazing what people said. They said it felt like I've been burnt by a cigarette. They said it felt like somebody, where I got stung by, these are people that testified they've been stung by scorpions. Yeah, I felt like somebody was burning me with put their cigarette out on me. One person said it felt like I had hot coals under my skin. But that sound like hell? They talked about the level of pain. Some of them said they couldn't find any relief. Some people said, man, when you get stung by a scorpion, you can't drink anything. Does that sound like hell? Talk about the effect that it has on your vision and the effect that it has on your speech. One person I read said it was just a terrified situation. I'm just telling you, people act like they're tough. They act like they don't care about hell. We're going to go down there and party and live it up and live my life. I tell you, you'll be scared to death down there. Nightmare to wake up in hell. The Bible says, where their worm eyeth not, and the fire is not quenched. Just like here, just like hell, people will want to die, but they'll never be able to die. That's something. I look at this too, starting in verse number 7. You see the kind of company that you have in here. I tell these people are fools that they're going to yoke up with their buddies down there. They're fools that think it's just a place to hang out. They're fools that think they're going to drink and listen to their music down there. You've lost your mind. Remember over there with the rich man, how he had communion with Abraham. Remember that? He was in torment. He was still able to interact with Abraham. Well, if he could interact in hell, how come you don't think you could interact? If he could interact with somebody else in hell, what makes you think that lost people won't be able to interact with other people in hell? Think about the kind of people you're going to have to interact in if you don't know Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared in the battle. On their heads were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had the hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had the body of horses. Hell's like those. Listen, if God lets them out in Revelation 9, guess who's there right now? They're coming out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9. Where do you think they are now? They're in the bottomless pit. That rich man had interaction with Abraham. What makes you think that people in hell won't have interaction with creatures like this? There was a great gulf fixed. Abraham couldn't pass to the rich man, and the rich man couldn't pass to Abraham. But you know, when Christ led captivity captive, that gulf's out of there. That's right. Hell hath enlarged herself. That means there's access, I believe, to every creature that's listed in here. There will be that same interaction with those creatures in hell. You ever seen a wounded animal? It don't matter if it's your pet. Those animals act awfully different when they're injured. You know what these creatures will be in hell? They're going to be in torment just like people are going to be in torment. You know what they're going to do? They're going to respond to that torment. I'm telling you, I believe it's the same thing as they're doing here on the earth. I believe they're going to be doing the same thing in the lake of fire in hell forever. He said that next group in the chapter, I'm not going to spend time on it. The next group had a body of a horse, the head of a lion, the tail like a snake. Listen, they're breathing fire and brimstone. Why do you think they're breathing fire and brimstone? Breathing it in? I'll just tell you, this is as real. Listen, we will go look at movies and cry. Look at movies and get emotional. You ought to look at this and get emotional. That's a bunch of fairy tale type movie thing. I'll tell you, this is as real as tomorrow will come. There's people sitting here, they have an appointment with death, and they're going to be sitting in hell just as much as they're sitting in here in the house of God this morning. Right? Not just these preacher. I thought about the murderers that's going to be there. I think about some of our teenage children. Been around some of the greatest murderers that ever lived. Rapists, sodomites, pedophiles. They're all going to be there. That's the company. I thought about them being in hell and listening to their filthy mouths. That's what hell's going to be like. Listening to their filthy mouths. First God, night and day. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to be here this morning. It's a blessing to hear somebody sing about Jesus and shout about Jesus and testify about Jesus, but I did tell you in hell, when you lift up your eyes, there'll be none of that no more. There won't be any preaching. There won't be any Christians. There won't be any quoting the Bible. There won't be none singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, people sit here and they want that stuff out of their minds and out of their life. I tell you, one day people are going to get their wish. So there's a king in this place in verse 11. There's a king. It said in the bottomless pit, verse 11, they had a king over them. You know what his name means if you look it up? Destroyer. Listen, folks don't want God as their authority. I'm telling you, there's a lot of excuses people can make. My religion, background, people treated me, that church down the road. But once you wipe all that away and get to the root of the problem, there's a heart there that does not want God to rule their life, be the authority of their life, to be the king of their life, to tell them what to do. Nobody's going to tell them. That is inside the heart of men that go to hell. And God says, if you don't want me to be king, I'll give you your wish and I'll set somebody over you. And I'll tell you, ain't it true of thus us that saved and made Jesus Christ Lord of our life? Ain't he given us the greatest life? He's given us more than we could ever ask for. He's been better than us we could ever dream. I'm telling you, you don't want that king. You can push him away, and he'll give you one, and he'll be the destroyer. And I promise you, he'll destroy everything you have. Joyce, there's a good God in heaven. And I used to think it was all about rules, and I got to come to church, and we got to sing, and we got to go out on bus. My dad used to drag me all them places. And I had to. It was in my heart, a rebellious heart. Didn't want nobody telling me what to do. Didn't want nobody telling me what I'm doing wrong. I wanted to live my life. You know what I did? I picked me another king. And in my life, he destroyed it. If he hadn't have destroyed it, I'd never got saved. I'd still be with him. Don't you remember where you were when you got saved? Do you remember where that alcohol took you and that kind of life? How it did your marriage? How it made you act? How it made you think? How it made you hurt? I'll tell you, since God saved, we found out there's a great king. Well, there's a great God in heaven. He's been good to us. Hallelujah. He just wants to be Lord of your life. Treats you so good, you won't know what to... I tell you, we look back, we think, how in the world did it get this good? I was laying in a hotel last night. I said, man, we're sitting down here. How did we get here? I'm just saying, God's been good to us. God's been so good to us. Look at this right here. This is amazing to me. The last two verses. I know you caught it when we read it. You're cognitive in hell. There's company. There's also a callousness in hell. You hear me good right here. Look at verse number 20. And the rest of the men, you would think by now, wouldn't you think by the time all these creatures got through doing what they were doing, whoever survived it would say, hey, we need to get right with God. Wouldn't you think a drunkard, after beating his wife and leaving his kids, would wake up one day and say, hey, maybe we ought to try Jesus? These people here didn't think that way. You would think after all this, a third dies, the earth's dying, everything's dying, you would think something in somebody's heart would say, hey, maybe we ought to turn to God. But when he says in verse 20, look how callous they are. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not, this, of their works, of their hands, which they should not worship devils and idols, gold and silver and brass and stone and wood. By the way, God says they can't see nor hear or walk. Then he said, verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Isn't this amazing? The same thing happens in hell. People are not in hell this morning repenting. I said this last year, I don't know if I did or not. We think eternity is a long time for somebody to be in hell, don't we? We think, how can that be just for 40 years or 50 years or 60 years of living? How can they spend eternity in hell? You know why they're going to spend eternity in hell? Because they'll never repent. You think hell's going to make you repent? Look at me, please listen to me. If you won't repent at preaching, you're not going to repent in hell. That rich man, when he was in hell, he begged somebody to go tell his brethren, tell them, I don't want them coming here, it's a place of torment. And then he says that they may repent. But do you think that rich man would repent? You know why he don't repent? Because he's forever going to be the same sinner he is on earth. God don't change a man that way. God's a just God. He sends a man to hell, he deserves to go to hell. Right? We all deserve to go to hell. Right? We read about Satan. Listen to me. Satan is the greatest deceiver ever walked earth. God cast him in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That kind of torment for 1,000. You would think after 1,000 years, he would get out, get on his knees and say, Christ, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. You know what he does as soon as he gets out? Same thing he did before he ever went in. I'm just telling you, you sit here rebellious? You're going to get saved? I'm telling you, you're going to go to hell? Why, you got to stay there forever? Because if God lets you out, you know what you do as soon as you got back out? You start rebelling again. Right. You don't get saved because of fornication. You don't get saved because you got that bottle. I tell you, how you want that bottle? You will pay for that bottle for eternity. I'm just saying, you're such a callous. Here's what I'm trying to say. God Almighty ever tenders your heart. You get that space of repentance. Oh, God. He'll just give you that little space where your eyes are just open and you see. This ain't the greatest life. And if you recognize that this morning, there's a real hell, I'll tell you, you better thank God for that. I wonder how many years we had combined with a crowd if we all think about when we was lost and living in sin and never thought about God. I bet you it was multiple decades of not having any thoughts about God. But I'll tell you, it's the grace of God where he came by. He opened up your eyes and he opened up your heart. He let you see that you were a sinner, that you deserved to be in hell. God did that. That is a space of repentance that you have. You better not miss that. You miss that. I'm telling you, for eternity, you will have a calloused heart, a hardened heart, and you'll never change. Try that. But you look back at first one, it's the last thing I got to say. You got your cognitive or your understanding. You're going to experience, most people will experience hell. And there's company there, chapter number 9. All the different types of creatures. And then there's a callousness. I'll go back to verse 4 and let you know there is a conqueror of hell. There is somebody that has conquered hell. There is a way out. Ain't that great? I mean, if you believe the Bible like I believe the Bible, that's a wonderful thing. If there is somebody that can deliver us out of this place, thank God we don't ever have to go there. He said, verse 1, chapter number 9, he said, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Somebody had that key. Key locks people in. That's what we talked about. The key also keeps people from getting in. Hallelujah. The key can keep people from getting in. Ain't that right? I says this in Revelation chapter number 1. I'll read it to you. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, this is Christ saying, fear not. Jesus said, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. He says, amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. One person's got that key. Not a denomination, not a preacher, not a deacon. There's one person's got that key. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 5. This is verse number 4, excuse me. It was commanded them. This is a command. Listen to this. They should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, neither any tree. Look at this. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. But the only ones that don't have to go to hell this morning, the ones that's been sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. Ain't it wonderful when you got saved? I've been such a disappointment. Somebody else feel like a disappointment from time to time. I tell you, Brother Steve, I'm not dead. He said, my soul needs to revive. I live my life. Not dead, but man, I also often live my life needing reviving. I ain't been worth saving. I ain't repaid the Lord
a fraction of what he's done for me. I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ saved me, he put the Holy Spirit inside of us. I was says he's that Holy Spirit of promise. He's the one that seals you and keeps you. You couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. If you've been born again, you don't ever have to worry about none of that stuff. You'll never one time know about the torment of hell. Never one time have to be in that place. God has saved us and redeemed us and sealed us. We never have to go there. Bless and thank God for that. I was just thinking this morning, I was looking at my notes. I was thinking, man, if you're saved, don't forget about your family. We got it so good. I'm telling you, we get so lazy. We just live nonchalant like everything's just going to work out. Don't forget about your family. It'd probably be good sometime, whether it's today or tonight, sit down and think about your lost family, where they're going to be if they don't get saved. Don't forget about your coworker. Don't forget about your neighbors. Don't quit praying for folks, because if Jesus comes back or if they die, I'm telling you, they're going to spend eternity in hell. Then I thought, Lashley, if you're lost, you look at me, listen to me. There's still time for you to get saved. There's still time for you. Preacher said it this morning. He says, now is the acceptance. Now is the day of salvation. That registers somewhere in your thoughts and in your heart. I tell you, don't you miss that opportunity. There's a lot of people that sit in church, I think this lot. Like a lot of people, they got a lot of head knowledge. They got a lot of belief. Oh, I believe Christ died. I believe married. I believe. I'm just telling you, they don't have anything in their soul. The Bible says the devils believe and they tremble. They're not going to heaven. It's a lot more than what you got in your head, what you got in your heart. I'm just, if you ain't got nothing real, man. I said there's a teenager and I sat there service after service. I could never wait to go and I never want to go. I never want to go to church. I couldn't wait to get out. I'm just in you. I want to have something real in your soul. That's something real in your soul. That's something worth singing about. That's something worth talking about. That's something worth shouting about. If you say you got to be missing that, you better faint. There's a real place called hell. It won't take but one split second. Jesus come back and I'm telling you that tribulation is going to start. It's going to be your few just as much as you miss out. Unless you've lost family, don't you pray. Don't you knocking. Don't you quit telling people at work. I don't care. Listen, let them label you anything. Who cares? You can't get 1,000 years. It's going to matter. It's going to matter that you didn't say nothing. Who cares? Who cares what that lost family does? Who cares? You better live every minute you got for Jesus. Rich man said, please send somebody back. Please send somebody back. I got lost family there now. I guarantee with every fiber I got. They're sitting there right now. Brian, go tell my brothers. Brian, go tell my sisters. I'm telling you, there's lost people pleading for you to go tell somebody. That is a real place to spread. Believe it. Bible's right. Let's stand. Preacher, you can come. I'm going to pray. I'm done. Stand.
Well, I love you this morning, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. Thankfully, I don't have to think about going to hell this morning. Lord, I'd ask you, Lord, to help our hearts. And I don't want anybody to make a decision out of emotion, anything like that. But Lord, I say it on a Sunday morning. Lord, I remember sitting there, Lord, not knowing how to do it, not knowing how I was going to live right. Lord, you came by and you saved me, you changed my life, and you've done everything since. I just ask you if there's somebody lost, Lord. Maybe somebody's just countless. Maybe they just need to come back here and get right with you. Maybe they just need to get back to talk to their family, coworkers, and Lord, living for you. Lord, this thing of eternity is real. Help us to think about it. God, please, I pray. Lord, I love you, trust you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. Had cottage prayer meetings this week, and nights that we had cottage prayer meeting, I asked those in attendance to give me the name of someone that was lost, that they, whether it was family or friends, but that they wanted to have a burden for. Somebody that they wanted, not that anyone else is less important, just that's the person. There's five in my family. My dad's in heaven. He got saved when he's 40 years old. He's an alcoholic. My mother prayed for him and lived in front of him and got saved, and he's in heaven now. My mother's been saved for a long time. Then after that came me, and then I have two other brothers. Thankfully, I mean, thank God, Jeff gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. I still have one more. It's five in my family. I don't know how biblically correct the song is, but that song that says, will the circle be unbroken? I sure hate to know that of the five family that I was born into and grew up with all my life, that any one of them might be in hell. So I'm praying for my brother, Ken. There are 34 other names on this list, and I have it in my hand. I told the folks, you give me that name, and every day if God will help me. I came this morning early to church and walked up and down the aisles and prayed for every one of these names. I want God to so burden my heart for sinners until that's all I think about, until I can check their name off the list. Do you know that there are people in this room right now that are on this list, or people in this room who have given the name of someone who's here saved and are praying for you or someone that's lost without Christ? But as Brother Brian said, at some point in time, Jesus is going to come back or you're going to die. And once that happens, that's it. If you die without Christ and your name's on my list, I'm going to have to stop praying for you. I can't pray for you after you're gone. It's too late. I don't want to cross your name off because you died. I want to cross your name off because you're living in heaven, because you got saved. Truth be told, everybody in this room that knows Christ knows somebody that needs to be saved. And we need to do like that woman that told Jesus about her daughter filled with demons. She said, "Lord, my daughter, my daughter." You ought to be at this altar begging God to give you a burden for that individual and to beg God to save them before it's too late. You've heard the message. There ain't nothing else to say except will you come. You put aside the pride and the foolish thinking that says, I'll do it later, when you don't know if later's coming. Felix said at a more convenient season. Then Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I wonder if you're unsaved here today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to try to single you out. I'm asking you, if you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, step out of your seat and come to this altar. And from the Word of God, see how it is that you can be saved forever. Right now, Satan is putting on a fight. I told the folks the other day when I sat in my brother's living room and he was really fighting it. He knew what he needed. He wept. He wailed. At one point, he said, "Don't be mad if I tell you I'm not ready." The battle was raging. I've never seen the devil fight for the soul of a human being like I saw in my brother's living room with him. EJ had already about, she told me, she said, "I'm ready. I'm ready." Satan fought with my brother like he's fighting with you right now. And he's telling you, don't do this. If you do, your life will be over. No, it'll just be starting. You won't be able to live like you've lived. That's the whole point. Living like you're living will put you in this pit that you heard about. Real quickly before we sing, is there one? And I'm extending the invitation. You've heard me describe this, so I'm not going to go into all that again. I'm simply offering an invitation for you to step out of your seat, repent of your sin, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is there one right now? Won't you do it? Won't you do it? Won't you do it? The battle is on, folks. It's happening right now. Right now, it's happening in this place. Father, we love you today. The message has been preached. It has been done masterfully. I believe it was as though Jesus Himself were preaching this morning. Now, Lord, up to that individual to make that decision. I want to go to hell or not. Right now, they're making the decision to go. Oh, God, change their mind. Change their mind. Holy Ghost, change their mind. Entreat them. Plead with them to come. Lord, we're going to sing two verses of an invitation song, and that's all. Two verses and two choruses, and that's all. No need to extend it. No need to prolong it. If a man wants to get saved, if a woman or a boy or girl wants to get saved, they're making the decision instantly. I'm drowning in the ocean and someone is offering help. I don't have to spend 3 or 4 hours trying to think if that's really what I want to do. I'm making up my mind while they're saying, "We're coming, we're coming." I'm making up my mind. I want to be saved. I want to get out of here. Help me. Lord, do the work as only you can. The rest of us, give us a burden for souls. Anchor Baptist Church will only be as good as the souls we reach. Have your way in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Brother Tim, come on.
Let's sing Just As I Am together.
Just as I am without one plea of that I was forsaken for.
done. Brian and his boy at the altar praying, and so we're going to wait till they're finished, of course. We're done singing. You just remember, if you walk out of here without Jesus, the only person you can blame is yourself. You can hear a message like that and be, listen, I'm saved. I've been saved a long time. I hear a message like that, and I tell you, it stirs my soul. Not to shout and swing from the rafters, but to realize, number one, I don't have to go there. And number two, that I have family that are. And I'm sorry to say, I've already got family there that I can never reach. My grandfather found out I was going to be a preacher. He told my mother he's wasting his life. He's in hell right now. And if what I heard today is true, and I believe it is, it's like that rich man, Bruno Soderholm, my grandfather, he's yelling, Rick, preach! You're not wasting your life! I wasted mine! Preach! Tell them! Dear Lord, my heart has been stirred, not because I'm grateful that I'm saved and going to heaven, although I am. My heart has been stirred because I have one brother left who's not saved, and rapture happens today. He's going to have to go through this, and then after that, go to hell. Lord, burden my soul. Break my heart for my brother. Lord, break the hearts of your people here this morning for their unsaved person. Make it so that they cannot hardly function until they prayed for and someday seen that individual come to know Christ. May we never forget. Lord, may we never quit. Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful message. Right out of the Word of God. Someone to hear that and walk away. Lord, only you can make that stony heart fleshy before it's too late. Thank you for this morning in Christ's name. Now I want you to be seated. Just a moment, we're finished.